All right, let's did you get my email?
You did. Okay, good. Yeah, just make a note of that new email address because I don't check the
I
other one.
will. And I meant that as a gift for you too, but
No, I
thank you for your
know.
reflections.
You know what? I was so like I this has been a weird week, and I was in such a like, oh my gosh, I want to answer Lissa quick because she's been, like I didn't realize it came in, but I did realize that that was for me too, and I should have acknowledged that. Thank you.
Yes. And we all are.
Hey Stephanie, hi Nicole. Hey Anne, hi Inball. All right. Let's jump in. I feel like our call last week, I don't know if you've all been feeling it, but like our call last week, I think like set off the, like I'm just noticing with so many people, like there's a lot of energy. I don't know what we want to call it, like heavy energy in the field, if you will. I don't generally talk like that, but I've been feeling it. I don't know if you all have. So, wherever you are today, it is all welcome here. This is a space for you to bring all of yourself. This is a space to honor all of it and the full experience. And so, with that, let's take a moment and go inward and get grounded. And so I invite you, if it feels comfortable, to close your eyes. If not, let's go inwards. Notice your seat and the connection that you're making with your seat. Let some of your weight and your energy move downwards to ground you. And then remember your body. And remember your breath. Just really being with yourself. With your body and with your breath. Noticing the movements as you inhale and exhale, and getting curious about those movements, inquiring, holding, noticing. And as you connect with yourself in this way, I invite you to find the part of yourself or the part of your experience that you have either been hating on or bringing shame to or judging. It might be your inner procrastinator that you've been hating on or judging. It might be the part of you that you feel hasn't gotten the marketing right yet. It might be the part of you that hasn't been upholding a boundary that you've been hating on or judging or bringing shame to. What is the part of yourself or your experience that you've been judging, that you've been making wrong?
And whatever that part or place is, I invite you to take a few moments to hold space with it, for it, to hold loving and compassionate space for it as you would a client, as you would a child, as you would a loved one. Just be with that part of yourself with love and compassion. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out. And allow your eyes to flutter open. Bring yourself fully present to our time together. It's great to see everybody. So we've got our Q&A and clinic time today, our last one. And then we have a practicum call scheduled for next week. We're not gonna do, it's gonna be like not a practicing skills practicum. We're gonna do a fun and hopefully powerful kind of like planning exercise is the best way I can put it. So We'll do that next week. So what is it that you need for today? Kelsey.
Let me just shut my door real quick. Put my toe on a hand weight. I don't even know how this totally is a question. I'm certainly what just came up for me as you were, I came in a little bit after the meditation started, but I got the sense, and I've been working on so much stuff, as you know, personally. And I had a like literally a shit show of a day yesterday with my daughter's father, John. And like, we got to the point with lawyers, et cetera, where like, I'll never speak to him again, ever. Like it now is, it's over. The boundary has firmly been set. I never get to call him. I never get to email him. I never get to text him, and vice versa. And it came, the hardest part about it was that it came, which, you know, now that I'm on the other side of it, like having slept and meditated and all, like, it's perfect. It's actually perfect. It's perfect. It's exactly what I wanted. I probably manifested this, but the way it happened was he, who's like a total, like severe narcissistic personality disorder, like da, da, da. He wrote to both of our lawyers about me that he feels traumatized by my maneuvering, manipulating, and bullying of him. And so he no longer feels safe to have me ever communicate with him. And it was like, so like shocking, because I've been nothing but nice and polite and easy. Like, the lawyers could go back and see all the emails. And it was just like the way he put it all on me. I got into this total, I mean, it was horrible. I got into this huge shame spiral, total trigger, emotional flashback, however you want to call it. And like, literally was like, oh my God, maybe I am a bully. Maybe I have been manipulating. Am I maneuvering? Like, blah, 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 like just hating on myself. And, you know, I got out of it eventually, I guess, sort of, but that part of me, that not good enough part of me, he knew exactly how to hook into me, exactly what to say to make me feel horrible. And then of course, you know, how do you work? How do you deal with clients? How do you decide you're going to have your retreat or whatever, when you're this horrible person who can never speak to your daughter's father ever again? And it was just, it was a fucking shit show. And, you know, I slept on it and read my self-compassion book and whatever. And only just now in the meditation was I like, this is the boundary that had to be drawn. And I should have done it a long time ago and I couldn't. And he did it. And yes, he did it in a horrible way. And I feel horrible, but, or I felt horrible, but now there's a freedom in that boundary. There's a freedom. And yeah, I mean, there's restriction in that boundary too. Like they'll never be like, hey, we got invited to this party. Can I take her? You know, there'll be no flexibility. And what's the question I have for you? Well, first of all, what is the question? Maybe you can help me even figure out what the question is. On top of it, like I was just starting to get to this place. Like I finally found a retreat center that I might be able to do my retreat October 1st, which is coming up. And I was like, literally just about to be like, okay, I can say something and start to write again or whatever. And then like, ugh, when you feel horrible about yourself, well, it's two things. He made me feel horrible about myself. How do I get out of that? Because it isn't true. But it's sticky.
Yeah.
And then somehow how do I take that? I mean, the lesson is about boundaries. The lesson is about self-compassion. Like I know the lesson for my clients in this, I guess that's what I'm kind of asking. I don't know. And I also just needed to be witnessed. I had so much shame and I know that shame can't survive being spoken. So I just wanted to say it in a group of really supportive people.
Yeah. 100%. Thank you for sharing with us, witnessing like the pain and the shock of how he did it, and also witnessing your magical powers for manifesting freedom.
Yeah.
It's so hard when someone, and especially someone so close, I know you're not close, but, and you are close, right? Like someone so close can do that, it, right? And then all the stuff is up. I hear that. And also from this perspective, I'm just thinking about how consistently he has been an energetic weight on you. And that's clearing out now.
Yeah.
This is his last lick of trying to like, right? It's like the extinction process. Like there's this thing of with kids, I just learned about this, my teenager, it's like when you finally set a boundary, the behavior is gonna like get so, you know, like so bad because it's dying out, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of like that last extinction, like, right? So extinction first. Thank you, Anne. So all that being said, I mean, there's so many, I know you're asking like, what's the question, but let me pause there. I have a question, but let me pause there and see like what comes up for you just in this reflection and this being held.
Yeah, in that reflection, I was able to see, yes, that was totally an extinction burst. He felt, because everything was being documented and I was being super kind and everybody was seeing like, I'm trying. And I think he like kind of felt his back up against the wall and had to do, you know, like, he's like, okay, this is all about you. And this is because of you and da, 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 and now it's over. And I just have to let him think that that was his doing, and that's fine. I can do that. I don't have to say anymore. And it was totally an extinction burst. And now I have the freedom, you know, I have the freedom that I don't no longer ever have to have a decision-making situation with him. It'll all be, you know, paid for through an external third party, but at least it will be not between the two of us. And that there is an energetic freedom in that. I think that's really going to help me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And yeah, the shame piece was a big part because even, you know, even though I know who I am, I was like his lawyer and my lawyer and da, da, da. I was like, do they know all the past and all the blah, blah, blah? Do they see? And I'm, you know what? I don't know.
So that's where my question is. So I feel like this first piece, right, that I want you to lean more and more into this new freedom. I want you to feel the energetic freedom, all of that. What are you actually ashamed of?
I'm ashamed. I mean, I remember like friends of mine got divorced years ago and their kid is now in, you know, college. But when she was five, they got divorced. And at some point he told me, you know, oh my God, we can't even talk to each other. We only talk through lawyers. And I was like, what kind of a couple cannot talk to each other? Like, how can they not have a conversation? Who does that? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm that person. I remember being like, how does that even happen? And now I'm that person. So there's like, how could I be in such a dysfunctional relationship that I can't somehow help with all my skills, right? There's shame around that. There's shame. I think the piece that part felt like more emotional flashback is like, you're too much. You're not good enough. Yeah. Like from my mother, like from old.
Yes. Yes. So
like I should have done something better or different or not asked this question or not emailed too many times, or I did something wrong.
Yes. So let's just take a few more moments and focus on that. Right. So the I'm too much, and this might be my filter. So tell me if this resonates to me. Like earlier you said the word manipulative, that felt like it had an energetic charge to me, like shame around being manipulative.
Yeah, for sure.
And part of the too much piece in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, the narcissist knows exactly the words to say. They track your wound. So they know exactly if I say she's manipulative, it will destroy her. And he was right.
Yes. Okay. Okay, good. So let's put a shadow lens on this.
Okay. So if I had manipulative in shadow, yeah. So what's the question? Yes, I probably do. Right. Or it wouldn't hurt so much. Or...
Right. So own your manipulative self for a moment in this safe space. In what ways are you manipulative or desire to be manipulative, even if you don't act it out?
Well, inherent, I think, in manipulative is like the part of me that wants to have my way, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like I want my way. I want what I want.
Yeah.
And so owning that would be not so much the part that like is hard to own is that you would manipulate other people to get what you want, but like maybe it's like this, like I want what I want. I guess I'm not sure what the question is. How do I?
Yeah, no, you're doing it, right? So okay. This is like, and we're not going to get through all of it.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I want what I want. I feel like I know what's right and I want to create what's right for me and for my daughter. And when I know what I want to make it happen.
Yes. Okay, good. So let's take it even further and repeat after me. I want what I want.
I want what I want.
I want my way.
I want my way.
And I know that I am smart enough that I have skills to tweak the energy here and there to make that happen.
And I know that I have skills to tweak the energy here and there to make things happen, make that happen.
Take a moment with that. Take that in. Does that feel true?
Yeah. Yes.
And there is so that is the place, right? That's the manipulation piece that I want you to own, that you have the impulse and the skills to tweak things to get what you want. there are responsible ways to use that, and there are irresponsible ways to use that. I am pretty certain that for the most part, you haven't gone to the irresponsible, right. But I think you've just been making it all bad, right? But who we are, like as practitioners and facilitators, make no mistake, we are manipulators.
Right.
I'm manipulating you right now a little bit, right? Yeah. Like yeah. For good, right? This is the place to lean in more. I want what I want. I am focused on what I want. I am willing to get what I want and to manipulate situations for the highest of all.
Yes.
What's coming through as we just start to peek in.
Yeah. I mean, that is that's the truth. That even in that is also the deservedness. Like I want what I want and I am good enough to deserve it too. Yeah. There's like this shadow around deservedness, which is a separate shadow, I guess. But yes, I can use my powers for good.
No, and I don't think it's separate. I want you to add that in there. And I deserve it.
And I deserve it.
Right. Yeah. Anne is using the word selfish in the chat. I think that's part of it too. And I get to be selfish.
Yeah. And I get to take care of myself. I get to be selfish for myself and my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the places, Kelsey, that I would invite you to really work with, like move into, own that more and more. I get to have what I want. I get to do it this way. And yeah. I trust that as I do it, it will be the best for all.
I trust that as I do it, it will be the best for all. That is the thing. Like setting the boundary that makes the person hate you actually ends up being the best for all. And that's.
But I think that's like, that has to come a little later. Like first you have to lean into more of the like owning of the manipulative parts of you.
Yeah.
And then that piece.
Yeah. And so I can do some work to lean into the manipulative parts and I'll go back and listen to all this, but just in terms of our shadow work, it's actually really interesting. It may be helpful for everyone. Like the polar opposite of manipulative and getting what I want is being laying down and letting him walk all over me. And I mostly do that, but I think it's in covering up this part of me that wants what I want. And so I just lay down and then I pretend like he's getting his way all the time. And actually I'm wanting, and then there's probably something right there in the middle that needs to be.
Hold on. Yes. You're 100%. So think back, you know, we have so many shadow tools that you've learned through the retreats. The one that I'll just toss for now is I channel the manipulative one in writing, you know, really befriend that one, work with that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. Really good work, Kelsey.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you, everyone. I'll read the chat too. I saw it was coming through.
Okay. Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Let's see. So I have two questions. One feels like a lighter, like just business logistics question. And the other one is like a deeper existential question. So I'll start with the lighter one. And then maybe if there's time, we can come back around to me. So I had a call with a client today. It was a re-enrollment call and they want to re-sign, which is great, especially because last week I was like, nobody wants this work with me anymore. And I've actually had two people this week say that they do. So breathing again.
So let's just pause there. So what's the learning for you to remember so that you're not on the roller coaster so much?
Yeah. Not to freak out when people don't want to keep working with me because it probably just wasn't aligned for them and for me. And like, it's creating space for potentially new clients to come in. And the two that re-signed are like the two that I love working with the most anyway, currently. So yeah, just trusting that if it's meant to be, it will happen. And if it's not, then that's okay. But it makes space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
So this person wants to continue working with me. Her business has changed quite a bit in the past 6 months. She's pivoting to essentially be working on a project with other people. And I've worked mostly with just people who are like solo entrepreneurs, but she is interested in having her business partner essentially be a part of the program with her. And I actually did this once before with a group of gals. And what I told them was that, you know, that's totally fine. Like, you can come together into the group calls together and be in the message group together. And what I told them is, like, with the one-on-one calls, like, it can be harder to go deeper when it's like a group like that. Not that it's impossible, but that, you know, I would put that out to make, they can make that decision if they want to come together, or if they want to trade off, or if like she just wants to be the one doing the one-on-one calls. I trust that they can make that call for themselves. But what she asked me was around the cost. Mm-hmm. And what I did before with this person, with the team, is it was just the same cost as it would be for one that they both got to join. But she was asking like if it would be different if there were two people involved. And I'm trying not to like make financial decisions in the moment, especially with what happened last time where I totally lowballed myself. So I'm like, yeah, let me think about that. And I'll send you all the information later today. So, you know, my inclination is just to make it the same cost as it would be for one person. And I also like part of this conversation, like I do like a lot of financial accessibility work. Like it's basically like people can pay whatever they want. Essentially, like I've set that up, like I have a set rate, but there's a lot of sliding scale and scholarships available for people. But I know it's helpful to give people a rate and then say like, is that workable? So I guess I'm just not sure, like, should I say it's the same or like, should it be more? I don't know what to do with that.
What feels in alignment with you?
I mean, it seems like, gosh, it depends, right? I mean, like, it really doesn't take any more work from me to work with a team of two versus a team of, or just with one person. So like, I guess my inclination is to say that it should just be the same rate for like a solo or a team.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just worried that like, am I leaving money on the table here? Does it make sense to charge a little more? I think that's, you know, part of my money scarcity stuff coming up of like, oh, it would be nice if they paid more, right. But like, I don't know if it actually needs to be that way.
Right. So that's why I'm asking if it's in, you know, what feels in alignment, because there's no right answer here. It's kind of like what feels right. I don't want you to undercharge, mm-hmm. but I also don't want you to charge for the sake of charging if it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
I think the answer has to come with like what feels in integrity and like a good exchange in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Not to complicate things, but I'll just add like the other thing that's just on my mind around all of this is if two of them are going to be in there together for them to really receive results, does there need to be a modification in terms of how many privates or how long the privates are? And then, you know, then that would obviously impact the price. But I also, in the spirit of like, yeah, anybody can do this, or, you know, not undervaluing yourself, I don't want you to just throw people into a program and like, you know, it's like, how are they going to receive results? I think is an important question.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just like a, not to complicate things, but I just want you to think about like, can they still receive results if they're both in it, but
they're getting half the amount of sessions because they're splitting off, or only one of them? And is there a way that would actually really serve them even more? So I know I'm asking more questions instead of answering questions. But tell me like what you're seeing and taking from all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, you know, part of the reason that she is wanting to work with me more is because like we've gone really deep in the one-on-one sessions and like a lot has shifted for her.
Yeah.
And I guess I worry that if they're both in the one-on-ones that like that won't happen and things, I mean, they'll still get something out of it.
Well, so
and maybe there's more there. Like maybe it's just a different kind of depth that involves like the team dynamic.
Well, and the answer doesn't have to be that they're both there, right? But I want you, instead of just leaving it up to them, I want you with your like expertise hat and what you know of them and what you know of how like people change or results happen. I want you to think through this a little bit more. Like, does this woman who is re-signing, if you know that she's really gotten the value from the privates, do you want to like hold that boundary for her? Like this is the private, like you, that is what has helped you move forward. I don't want to take that away from you.
Yeah.
So we can either add privates on for your partner. You know, I just, it feels like there's a little bit more to think through here for it to, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I feel like that's sort of, as you were talking, what I was thinking is like, I want to just work with her one-on-one. And I think that's where she'll get the most value. And then maybe I can offer like, so that the rate is going to be for you and I to have the one-on-ones and she can join into the group. And then if she's interested, we can add on sessions that are just her or that are groups with you at this rate.
That feels good, right? Yeah. And so it might be just for the partner, or it might be that, you know, X amount of times throughout the container, there's like a team meeting that's maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And you lay out like what the purpose of that is, again, based on what you know about her and their business and what they would need. So I would, and then all of that will impact the rate, but I would think about this more holistically.
Yeah. Okay. That's helpful. Awesome. I could ask my second question now, but I also see three hands up. So maybe come back around to me if there's time.
We circle back.
Yeah.
Great. Nicole.
Hi. I have a very practical question. I have this online program. It ends this month, the end of the month, and people have access until September. And I want to mail them. It was the first 3-month program I ever did. And I was surprised there were a lot of people, 37 people actually joined me. So I was surprised. And I know they are really enthusiastic and maybe want to continue, but I'd like to continue at the beginning of October. So it's a holiday and I must figure some things out. So now I'm wondering what to do. I'd like to send them an email with a short video with me thanking them for joining, but how do they stay engaged? Is there something I can do to help them stay engaged and hopefully they sign up in October again? So I'm wondering what things I can do. So I can email them, I could send them things until October. Do you have some ideas for me? Because also holiday, how to commit them a little bit. And yeah. I also want to mail them with a survey. And I don't know, do I do this in one email or just two for some reviews? I'm a little bit confused.
That's a great question. So if you can invite them into the next thing, the next, like, you know, the next program before you end this current container, that's optimal. And what I would suggest is setting up a call time, 30, probably you need more than 30 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour, mm-hmm. where you let them know, we're going to be meeting at this time. I can't believe we're, you know, at our end of this cycle. There's deeper work for some of you to do. And so this call is an opportunity for me to share what I have planned in terms of our next steps together, mm-hmm. if you're feeling called to continue.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then you can, you know, in that call, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, you would lay out, like, first of all, just all the ways, you know, as a group, like what they've learned, where they started and where they are now, what's shifted, you know, what's coming through. And then from there, you would speak to what you see, would be really valuable and helpful for them next, mm-hmm. in their journey. And then how the program that starts in October contains all of that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you would invite them in, you know, mm-hmm. and you can give them, if you want, like a little bit of a time sensitive thing, you know, for mm-hmm. them to set in sooner than later. And then you can always, closer to the program, swing back to people that maybe weren't ready at the time, but are ready in September, whatever it is. But I would take it really seriously. And I've modeled that before, like from moving from Sacred Depths into other mm-hmm. programs, you've been on those calls. Like I would take it really seriously. I would create a container. I would make those invitations. I would ask them to RSVP, you know, all of that. And I would really connect deeply from your heart to theirs on celebrating and acknowledging all that's already been created and then what can come next.
Yeah, that's great. And I was wondering, I could do that and also separately send an email with a survey just to separate those two things.
I would separate it out. I would wait on the survey, take care of this piece of business first, mm-hmm. bring in as many as you can. And also, you know, follow up from that call for people that don't respond, that you're like, oh, I know that they would love this. And it feels to me like a perfect, you know, reach out to them individually too. Mm-hmm. And then once you're done, it's okay if you do the survey and the other pieces later in August, you know, it can be later on, but I'd work on this piece of business first.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I've got more structure in what to do first and what is, well, yeah, but seems like some good steps to take. Yeah, now I'm less confused now.
Good. I'm so glad. And yeah. I'm excited that you're gonna continue too with them. That's great.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Nothing. Good, let us know how it goes. Tara.
Hi, Joanna. Also a quick practical question. So I'm thinking about this 5-week course in the fall and wondering about like a preview to it. And I'm thinking about calling it Be Yourself Out Loud, something about truth-driven expression, and maybe focusing on like email and social media. And you know, how that trickles out into your life or something like that. And so I feel like that feels good. And then I'm like, well, how do I, you know, I would love to reach a broader audience of people. And so probably need to do some kind of free hour or 90 minute thing that I might call the same thing. And then just say, I have this longer version to step into.
You can absolutely call them the same thing. Like the preview can be the Be Yourself Out. I love the title, by the way, the Be Yourself Out Loud workshop. And then the program can be the Be Yourself Out Loud experience or journey or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. They can absolutely be the same thing.
And then in terms of that preview call, like taking some of the pieces from the program and just like using some of the same material.
Yeah. So I mean, there's so much to say on that. And there is a, if you haven't listened to the recording, I have a recording on previews, but I'll just share, that recording is a little bit, a couple of years old. And so I'll just share like some updated pieces that I've really learned over the last year-ish. What I have found in previews is like, no, I used to like hold back a little bit. It used to be like, don't give everything, you know, because then they're going to feel full and complete. And then they're not going to want to do the full experience. So there is some truth to that. Like you always want to be seeding about like how much, how awesome the full experience is.
Yeah.
But what I really learned is that the more I can make the space transformational and deep and like really give not a lot of content, but like deep value in that preview where like people feel like they'd had a transformative experience, then they want more.
Yeah.
So you want to be seeding and you want to be thinking about the principles of like, okay, what is it that they learn in the big program? How do I preview that in this call? But don't hold back on like giving them a full shebang, like experience.
And what is your philosophy about like offering it at three different time slots or just offering it one time and sending out the recording?
Depends on, I mean, there's no, you know, one answer to it. It's about like how much energy you're willing to put out and put into it. We've recently started having requests, which I want to like pay, you know, I'm paying attention to and thinking about of, can you do calls like for Sacred Depths? Can you do calls at alternating times? So sometimes at this time and then the next week at that time. So that's another kind of in between that like, you don't have to show up twice a week.
Yeah.
If that doesn't make sense, time versus money versus energy, you know, whatever. But so that different people can show up throughout the program.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's it.
Hi. So the question that I've been thinking about for the last week is, and kind of Anne was saying a couple of weeks ago that it's like that she was stuck and it's like she's like the person who helps other people get unstuck. And I don't necessarily like, I don't like frame my work as like helping people find purpose, but I really felt like over the last few weeks, like as I'm kind of turning the corner from burnout, and some of it relates to how hard it is for me to focus on myself and how much energy I put out toward other people. But really, really feeling like I'm just not that jazzed about like starting up with my coaching practice again, or like the work with clients. And I think that there's a broader thing around purpose, especially because, you know, I, for sure, I have a lot of like distractions, like social media and stuff I want to learn and read, but like, in the everyday, like it's, I spend a lot of time by myself, like in my head. And I find it very difficult to like live in the world sometimes, just with like, you know, like climate and fire season coming up and just all of like the injustice and like, you know, so I really feel like I need to find, kind of like reconnect to my purpose or like a purpose. And, you know, I don't know if part of it is that like, you know, and I want that to be, you know, I think part of like this it's like the humanitarian, the consulting work that I do right now, it's not that it's like, I'm so cynical about the system, but like, I feel like I'm really good at it. And with my coach, I just feel like I'm like, not that connected to like, how it's transformative or like liberatory or how it's actually like working toward the world that like a better world. And I don't want to sound like a total cheese ball, but like I can't spend so much time of my life. It's so much time in my life doing something that like, I don't think has meaning.
That makes
or is actually trying to do like something better.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, yeah, like I want to help women find like, kind of like, I don't know if it's like find more meaning specifically, but like, kind of like be okay where they are and like, and take risks and find work that's meaningful or at least that's like aligned.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm struggling with that myself.
Yeah. Is there a question?
Yeah. Do you have any suggestions for how I could like find my purpose or like reconnect to my work? Or, you know, it's like I've been asking about this reset. So, yeah. You know, this is like the next step.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I like it that you're on the next step. So first I wanna just reflect a couple things and then we can talk about steps. First is like, as you were talking, and you can tell me if this resonates, it might not. One thing that was moving through me is that like, if we think about this in terms of the seasons where you're at, it makes perfect sense. Like, after a wintering of sorts, you're not going to be reborn in the same way that you were before. Like it's a new cycle for a reason. And so it makes perfect sense that you're inquiring around the purpose piece. You know, for someone, it could be inquiring around the purpose piece or the format piece, or, you know, it could be lots of things. But so I think this is very normal and natural that you're feeling this way, and actually like a very healthy sign that you're moving into a new cycle. The other thing, does that resonate?
It makes me feel like hopeful or more positive. So I'll take it.
Good. The other thing that was moving through me as you were speaking is, and this may not be exactly what you were saying, so tell me, because I have had similar feelings myself around, I recognize that the work that I do is very much about individuals, and like primarily supporting individuals that are privileged in one way or another. And I think like for the first however long of my career, it didn't even occur to me. And that was just all fine. And then over the last few years, I think what's kind of like shifted for me is like, yes, that is the work that I do, but in order for me to do it, I really need to know that working with individuals are, yes, it's benefiting them individually, but like in one way or another, it is creating this ripple effect out in the world to serve the bigger injustices that I see, that I know I'm here to help serve. I don't know. I want to make sure that's what you're saying. And also, if yes, like speak that out loud to reflect back to you.
Yeah. And I mean, and I've thought about that. I think one of the, and I think it's one of the things that I've been wanting and haven't focused on for the last like 2 years almost to reflect that in my marketing, because I do believe that that is true, because we're the ones who are creating culture. Mm-hmm. And like everyone contributes in different ways.
Yes.
Yeah, I think part of it is like, you know, it seems like such a long, like, it's like, first I need to like get a full client load, and then I need to come up with a program. And then it's like, it's so hard for me to imagine what it could like look like. I'm not going to end up teaching people how to coach, I don't think. So it's hard to see like you're doing. So it's hard to see like how it will evolve, or yeah, it just seems like, yeah, it's just hard to imagine what it would look like, or to, yeah, like how it could, like in this moment where I am, like how it could evolve, or like to trust that maybe the wintering thing is like to trust that like it will evolve because things evolve.
Well, so I think it's part of it. I mean, I don't know where, I mean, you've heard me say this before, like I don't, and you know, cause you're on the team, like I don't even have a 1 year plan, you know, like I have no idea where things are gonna evolve beyond the next 6 months. And I get that I have things that are maybe feel more evolved than you do, but I think it's like, it's a lot to sort that out. What I'm hearing in the moment, and tell me if I'm hearing this correctly, is like the next important place for you is for you to, because I think you understand how you're helping people on that individual level right now. I mean, there might be some tweaks here or there, and that's a place to think about, but I think it's more this connection first for you to make internally and really get behind, and then to move into your marketing around how that change affects systems or creates culture.
Mm-hmm.
This is a place that you're particularly passionate about. Like so much of who you are is interested in this and passionate about this and about this. And it feels important based on what you're sharing to make some deeper connections and bridges there, like in the coaching work. How does that land?
Yeah, I feel like it was there. So maybe it's, like I need to, yeah, kind of like revisit that place and see what I can, the connections I can make now. I feel like they were there, but I never like put them into like practice or writing or, and do you have like an exercise or to like, you know, I have a lot of people like ending, but just to kind of like get re-excited about client work.
Yeah, well, I think these inquiries are going to help with that. Like I think this is one of the juice places for you to really lean in and get write down and really see and start putting into practice like those pieces, like do the inquiry first. I think that's going to be one of the main pathways for you to feel more excited, because that is where so much of your passion lies. I don't know if humanitarian is the right word, but it's almost like, how can your coaching business be like act as like your mechanism for humanitarian work? That's a question, yeah. I would answer. Stephanie's asking a question in the chat that's really nice. What do people need in order to powerfully change themselves and then change culture? I think a question around how can my coaching work change? What is the culture that I want to change, and how can my coaching work create that change? And I don't think it's like wrecking ball starting from scratch. I do think you have some of the pieces there. I think they've just gotten like dusty for you, and there's more to add as well.
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I wanna see what comes through in that too, if that's okay. Good. Who else? What do you guys need?
I don't have any questions, but I know that Stephanie did. I could also just share, but I am happy to do that after you, Stephanie, because I know what it's like to like have a question, and I'm happy to give you the space.
Go ahead. Well, there'll be time for Stephanie.
I'm like sitting here and I can't really think of a question, but like as I talk, things kind of come up. And I feel a little discombobulated because I missed the first 10 minutes and it always throws me off in this space because like you guys are like in it and I'm just like coming from chaos. And anyway, so.
You want to take a second to get here?
No, I've been here.
Oh, okay.
But like, I feel like I missed something. And then I feel like I spend the rest of the time just kind of like catching up.
What is here? Right.
Yeah, sorry. So I do have a practical question about this space and how much longer it's going to be, because I don't remember. I want to say it was like the end of this month, but I don't remember.
Yeah. So we have today's call and next week's call, and that's okay. It on the calls. And then we'll leave the Facebook group open. I don't know the exact date, but I'll leave the Facebook group open for a week or two.
Okay.
After that.
Cool. Thank you for that. Helping with the logistical thing. I don't remember when I last shared, but we've had two enrollment conversations in the last like 3 weeks. So that's been really cool. The first one was awful. I mean, like they wanted to sign, but it was really crazy. It took a really long time. I learned a lot. And so we just keep getting better. The next person is like an old friend of mine. And so it's like been really cool to reconnect with her and then also be able to like hopefully help her. I think it's gonna be a longer game with her, but I don't know, it's just, I'm setting intentions to put energetic deposits out in my network every day. Yeah. And it's been challenging to show up, but I'm doing it because I know I have to.
Wait, can we just pause here and celebrate for a moment? So, two enrollment conversations. That's huge. That's amazing. Like we've opened up the seal to prospects.
Get in there. Yeah.
Enrollment conversations, right? Like now it is open, right? Let the games begin, right? Like, so that's amazing, 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 amazing. And you're gathering the learning. There's always a learning curve in the beginning with enrollment conversations. So that's amazing. And you're daily putting out, now is it only on the energetic level, or are you taking actions as well every day?
Both.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, this is all so different than a couple of months ago. Big, yes. Really big stuff. You're planting seeds and you're watering, and you're planting seeds and you're watering. Yeah. There are plants that are going to grow.
Yes, I feel very much like a squirrel lately. Oh, yeah. So, I think I'm not doing as much out there as I know I could be doing. I'm falling a lot into like a comparison mode. I'm a very naturally competitive person, and it's helped me a lot in life and in sports and stuff, you know. But I don't feel as competitive at this place in my life, and I kind of wish I had more of that, but I do have a lot of the comparison. And so I've been battling that a lot because my wonderful partner, she's so beautifully skilled at connecting dots in conversations and like articulating herself. And I don't feel like I'm as good at that all the time. And I'm working with that being okay and like it being a skill that I'm gonna forever be developing. And it holds me back because she'll say, you know, well, if I could give you some feedback, which I need and I want, but then I'm also, my ADHD is just like, oh man, you suck. Like, you know, of course you can't do it as good as her, instead of taking it fully constructively. So anyway, a bit, you know, I'm trying to coach myself around, you know, embracing myself and my voice and not comparing to like her magic and focusing on like where my magic can also be impactful, but it's a challenge. So that's where I've been. And thanks for listening.
I love, like, I mean, so much awareness too, right? Which is like at the heart of what you, what the two of you are doing together, is teaching people how to relate in relationship, you know, all of that. So such a walking your talk.
Ryan, it's hard some days.
Yeah.
And we don't get a lot of time to work together. And so like I get a little bit more time than she does to work on the business. So I feel like extra weight on my shoulders as a teammate to produce. And when I don't, it's like, it's hard on me. It's hard for a Virgo perfectionist valedictorian. So, growing pains, but it's not painful. It's actually beautiful.
Yeah.
We've been coaching each other through it because she's got her own stuff coming up, and it's been an adventure. A good one.
Yeah. Thank you for letting us witness you in all of the.
Thank you for witnessing. I really appreciate all of you.
Yeah.
I'm sad to hear that it's ending next week. So I'll be sure to be here.
Good. I'm so glad. And this might be barking up the wrong tree and not resonant at all, but I just toss it and you can tell me. It feels like competition has been a superpower for you in other places, and like a life force fire energy for you. And so I am just curious around some of that life force competition energy be activated more in your business, and would that be valuable?
Competition for me was for survival. To get me out of the place I was in as a child. So being really good at sports got me a scholarship to school and got me out of the toxic situation I was in. And I guess my shit here is that, no, we've been floating on my life savings the last year. So I'm in that survival mode again, I guess. So, yeah. Just sometimes it's a mindset thing, right? And just being able to relax and trust that like you're on the right path and it always shows up. I'm always okay. But it's, does it make it less scary sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the scary is kind of embedded in. Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like, and I hear that you're doing this in a lot of ways, but I just want to reflect back to like integrate it even more. It sounds like now is a moment that is presenting you like an opportunity to do survival in a different way than you've done it before. And that's huge. Like that's one of, I think just in life for all of us, right? Like one of the biggest things we can do ourselves. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Or else we'll swing back to Stephanie. Before we, oh great, Lissa. And even before we take Lissa, I wanna ask, there's been a lot moving through this call so far. Take a moment and just jot down what's really moving through you? Like, what are you really taking away so far that's important for you? Like each of these pieces, there's so much coming through. We're just kind of bopping from one to the next, but there's so much here, I think, for each of us. All right, Lissa.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for that last statement of doing survival in a different way. That's what's up for me right now. And even like Kelsey, the way she began with the being too much, and we get to have what we want and what we deserve because of, you know, things I was told as a child. And so I've been sitting in the besides having this dull headache, and I forgot to take Advil before we came on. So I'm just, it's kind of mushy, but you know, yesterday was the anniversary of my mother's death. And so my sadness was here, and it was like, it was just kind of a soften. I just let it be here. It wasn't overwhelming. It was just like, it's okay to be sad because that was sad. But it's made me look at, you know, I was 19. And so I was on the cusp of being an adult, and it made me realize, wow, things that I wonder what I decided about being an adult in that moment of extreme trauma. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with Calvin talking about, you know, the things that we learn and in survival and moving forward in a different way. And, you know, and Kelsey with, you know, all the being too muchness and how this is what's required of us to be out in public and, you know, calling in our people and showing up and everything. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. Do survival in a different way. And, yeah. And I'm going to miss the regular groups, but that's all right now.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing and letting us witness you in that.
Yeah.
Letting us, yeah, that what a big day yesterday was too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm in New Hampshire, and we're getting, the sun was all red. It's the smoke from Oregon has hit us out here. And And it's just like a metaphor for like this smoke that travels a distance and blocks out the sun. And my daughter at one point said, I wonder if it's like houses burning or if it's just forests, like the idea of like where this smoke is, and we can't tell, we don't know, but the fact is there's smoke that's, you know, I don't know, everything's a metaphor, but yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Yeah.
Anne.
And this may be something you already have planned for next week's practicum. So ongoing challenge for me, being able to celebrate anything. I really always have to force myself to look at what is working, especially if there's anything that isn't working, and there's always something that's not ideal or not working. And I'm just noticing that as this cycle is coming to a close with CMC, and I'm looking at where I am compared to where I thought I would be, where I wanted to be, and some of the unexpected challenges that I faced in the last year, and things that are, you know, going on now that aren't resolved yet. I'm challenged in keeping my optimism and keeping my momentum to do things, and trusting that even if I can't see the outcomes on the horizon, that if I keep taking the actions, if I keep putting the energy in, that it will eventually come around. But I'm, you know, I'm at a fatigue point that I can't fix at the moment physically. Which sucks. But emotionally, it's that, like, every time I think I'm going to catch a break and be able to shift my focus and put more energy in, something else happens. And then I'm right back into having to, it feels like, work really hard to discern, is it best for me to focus on resting or dealing with this other thing? Or is it best for me to focus on my business? How much energy? And I'm just really challenged discerning the right balance. And maybe more specifically, and this in some ways goes back to some of the stuff that just came up for me, like when Kelsey was sharing in the beginning, not feeling guilty about it, not second guessing, not judging the decision after it's been made. You know, like if I make a decision to rest, not wasting the rest, feeling bad about the stuff I'm not doing. If I make a decision to put energy to work and then I end up extra tired, not feeling like, oh, I just screwed myself by doing that. I should have done the other thing. And I just want to break that cycle. And I just like, why is this here again? So the question is best advice for, you know, best practice to break that shit.
I'll tell you in the next minute. It only takes like 60 seconds. So first of all, I'm so glad you're bringing all of this and just voicing and articulating all of this. I've been thinking about every person in this circle like so much over the last couple of weeks, like every day, as I know we're coming to an end. And as I've been thinking about you every day, Anne, I've felt this from you, and not from you, like with you, you know, and you've had a shit sandwich of a year. Like it's been a shit sandwich, and it makes perfect sense that you're feeling all the things that you're feeling. I think they're so, of course you are. And so within the realm of normal, you like, just kind of, when I think about, you know, in the time that I've known you the last 2 years, like so much forward movement and so much growth for like year and a quarter, year and a half. And then so much like then that it has been out of your control, because life happens sometimes, like each of us at different times, you know, and it's
it's been really hard. And I first just want to reflect, like, I've really witnessed you doing the best that you can with the series of shit sandwiches that anyone can, really, with the series of shit sandwiches that have come your way, and learning and growing and deepening, not despite it, but like through all of it. So first I just really want
it. Yeah. Trying to use it.
Right. I mean, right. And there's just so much, right? But you are, like, you are, you know? And so I want to just acknowledge all of that.
Yes. I haven't had a year that wasn't a shit sandwich. And that's if we even exclude the shit sandwich that was my previous marriage. I haven't had a year that wasn't a shit sandwich since 2014. Like, I need a year that's got more like tasty roast beef and less shit, you know? And that's, I think that's part of it too, is I'm feeling like this was supposed to be the year that things got better. And that, oh my God, is it just always going to be that way? Is this just what my life will always be? And if it is, how do I create something despite that?
Right.
And that's not a place I want to sit either, you know?
Right.
And I can't know, but that's right.
You can't know. Like, I want to say, like, it's not, right? It's not like things are going to ease and like you're going to be dealt different types of hands. But like, the truth is, we don't know. But I think that second part of your question is the poignant one, right? So like, how do you create more of what you want?
Yeah.
No matter what hand is dealt. Because then we just don't know the hands that are going to be dealt.
Yeah.
So, that's my, I mean, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to ask you first, what's your wisdom around this? What do you know around this?
Well, you know what Calvin said of like, I've been here in the past and somehow it's always turned out. It's somehow it's always been okay. I'm trying to hold on to that. And the piece that's underneath it just feels like it's in the way of everything else is this, it feels like this renewed wave of not trusting myself, not trusting my decisions, not trusting my inner wisdom will carry the day or the month or the year. And it's just getting stuck in, you know, the perspective that the feeling of the walls closing in, you know, prize. I was driving, like literally driving back roads at 1:30 this morning because I just couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And windshield wiping ashy grit off my windshield from in Delaware.
Right.
So I can't even imagine what it's like out west. But like I'm driving around going like, there is literally nowhere for me to go. Like, this is my life. Like, I can't try to figure a way out or an escape. Yeah. This is it.
Yeah. I hear you on all of it. And where I'm curious, and I wouldn't ask a lot of people about this, but because I know that, like, because it's risky waters a little bit, but I know that you're like, you've done a lot of work that, you know, I think it's worth the inquiry around this. And this is a piece of shadow. Have you allowed yourself to consciously and intentionally really, not because it just keeps on pushing its way in, but to really hold court and hold space for the parts of you that don't trust, for the parts of you that are not optimistic, like to not resist them, but actually hold court for them.
No, I don't think I have. I mean, I've certainly had the times when, you know, in that predictable shadow way, they've just
come in. You're not harnessing them. No, I'm not talking about harnessing you. I'm talking about you harnessing them.
Right, but I really like the, I just wrote down hold court for those parts, because there's work that I've done these last several years, I guess. I started, oh my gosh, I must have started that work like 8 years ago at Festival, like claiming sovereignty, connecting with the queen aspects of myself before anybody would have said, you know, this is your time for that, because it was the phase of life and circumstances that was calling it forward. God has blessed Tracy and Julia. And to take it from that place, though, a little differently than the usual shadow work, but to actually go inward and be in the sovereign place and like that phrase, hold court, give them voice, but while holding a container for it where it's clear, though, that myself, that my sovereign self is still calling the shots.
Yes.
And that's a different thing than leaning into the shadow archetypes. And I think that's a really important middle place that I have not allowed myself to occupy in a while. And my nephew told me he has open forge time this Sunday, so I could actually have him start forging my sword this weekend.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I can feel that.
Awesome family.
That's amazing. I can feel that something is clicking here for you that feels like it has the potential to be potent and an important place to go. Yes.
And I actually know where my fire crown is. So I'm going to have to go find that. Not find it, but like extricate it.
Thank you.
And thank you for that connection back to that, to those times too, that I can think of other people that I could lean on. Going back to your advice from last week of making a list of resources, this is a slightly different list, but people that I could lean on to say, hey, I have some work to do around balancing the sovereignty with these other pieces. And I know you can hold that container with me. And I think might be time for some small group Zoom rituals.
I love it. Yeah, and you can think about it as balancing out, but another way to also think about it is like holding the paradox and holding them together.
Yes. Well, yeah, and a sovereign can have many different conflicting ministers in her government and still work them all out and still have the realm function. So,
and have those ministers be of service.
Yes, yes. Just have to use a different government than our own as an example.
Good idea. Okay, awesome, beautiful. Stephanie, and then Inbal, I'll come back around to you. I can hang on an extra couple minutes for whoever can hang on.
Thank you. Okay, so I posted about this in the group. And I feel like a little bit of a broken record. I feel like I'm always struggling with this, but I feel like there's something is shifting around it. And it has to do with my product line. And there's just been some stuff coming up with it lately. Well, something in particular, it's probably more detail than I need to go into, but it's just, I'm getting some information about what I'm making that's causing me to question, like, I think I have to reformulate again.
Wait, just tell me what you mean by reformulate.
So like last summer, I did like a huge reformulation of my products, like went back to scratch and like made all of them, like they're totally different than they were.
You mean before. The actual formulas for the product?
Actual formulas. Okay, yeah. Herbal formulas. So,
yeah.
And I think it has to happen again to help them be like more shelf stable, essentially. And I don't think I have that in me. Like that was a lot of work to do what I did last year. And like something, when I was like thinking about needing to do that and like realizing that I think the products are fine. They just like don't last as long as I want them to. Like the flavor just changes a little bit. It's not even that bad. Like there's no microbial growth. I tested them, all of that. But part of me when I found that out was like relieved that like, okay, there's something wrong. And it almost like it was giving me permission to just let it go. I don't know if that makes sense, but it was a similar feeling as to like 12 years ago when I dropped out of grad school and I had the realization that like, I don't have to do this anymore. And it was a process, which has been with this too, of feeling like, no, like these are really good. Like I'm good at this. Like this is something that I have to offer. People like them. I've invested a lot of time and money and energy into them. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's almost like a liberating feeling, this idea of like, what if I just didn't do that anymore? Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to really pay attention to that because like, it's not, that feeling is not letting me go. And it's really like appeasing my inner, I don't know. I feel like I have patterns in my life where I'm just like, I get to a breaking point with something and then I'm like, fuck this thing. And I like mic drop and like leave and like take off down the road. And I just want to do that again. But then like all of these fears come up around like, what am I doing? Like, what if this could be really good? Like, I just got I got 2 wholesale orders today. So it's like, it's making money and recreational retail is going to hit next year. And like, I'm in a position where I could like get into the THC market here in Vermont and like that could really blow up. But like, I can't remember the last time I actually found joy in doing this. And I've found lots of reasons to like I've gone back to the drawing board of like vision and mission. Why am I doing this? And I've been able to find enough there to keep going. But like, I think I've dug to the bottom of that. And there's like not much else there.
Well, so, I feel like you're being clear and explicit. It doesn't have to be done forever. It could be a winter mm-hmm. where you still take wholesale orders and make them as they come in.
Yeah.
If you so choose, or reject those orders if it's not the right time, if you so choose. Mm-hmm. I don't think that, I mean, I don't know, you only know the truth, but I don't think, Stephanie, that this is like, I think it's in you, you know, I think it's like, it's not gone forever, but it definitely does sound to me with filters. So you check for yourself that there is a death that needs to happen here that is bigger than just a death of the formula.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's different, but similar. You know, I'm taking a sabbatical for 6 months from private work. This is the first time in 20 years
like I cut both of my maternity leaves short, you know, because I couldn't tolerate more than, you know, 8 weeks off from my private clients. And, but I'm taking 6 months off from private work. And it's like part of it is so, excuse my language, so fucking hard to do because all the fears and all the loves, you know? And also I am clear that if I continue on, it's gonna be dead forever at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, something about that really hit when you said that. And I did this before, like the reformulation last summer was a similar thing of like me being like, I'm done. And then like, I pulled it together and relaunched and it was really good for a little while. And like, yeah, maybe that is what needs to happen again. But like, I really, I just need to step away from it for a while.
Yeah.
And like all the little fears that come up of like, you won't have your foot in the door anymore. And like, this is a moment to be in it. Like, why are you stepping out now? Like you won't be able to get back in, but I don't, those aren't true. I know those aren't true. And maybe it'll allow me to like come up with something that feels more aligned down the road. Maybe I'll have more information that'll allow me to make the products in a way that I want them to. And maybe I won't, like, I don't know, but I feel like what I really just need to do is just like put it down and like spend a lot of time doing other things. Like I've got all these other ideas. I have so much writing I want to do. I want to make a tarot deck, you guys. I'm really excited about that idea. Yeah. And I feel bad because I hired someone this summer to help me with all of that. But it was just a summer apprenticeship. And we agreed to like reevaluate on August 1st. So maybe that's also just a pause kind of thing. I really like her and I like working with her, but yeah, I guess, yeah, it's just a pause. I don't have to like be so like dramatic about it.
It doesn't have to be a final and there can be flexibility. Like in my 6 months off, if somebody approaches me and is like, I want to do a 2-day intensive with you, you know, if I have the time and I feel in the mood for it, I'm going to do a 2-day, I'll lead a 2-day intensive with them. You know, like there can be flexibility within, you know, but it does feel like in service of the greater good to follow your instincts. I love that you're gonna meet with her on August 1st. It's Lammas. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful moment for harvesting, you know, which I will remind you, it is in order to move into winter, you need to harvest for all the very hard, right? So.
Yeah. I feel like even if this is just a pause, I feel like there's some grieving that wants to happen because at some level, like part of me knows that it might not just be a pause, that it might just be done.
Yeah.
And so giving space for acknowledging what it's been.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I want to honor our time. We're past 2:30. So if you have got the go. And I'll see you next week for our last call. Inbal, if you have a couple minutes and you've got something that you need, I'm more than happy to hold the space.
Thank you. So this is just a question I asked in the group last week. And didn't get a response yet. And the question is about like when to do celebration calls. Like if I know that someone is going to, or like if I just, like there's one client who's ending where you know, I think she was just a 6-month client. So do I do a celebration call, even though I know it's not like, or do I just work that into a final call?
Yeah, if you feel like it's not aligned to move forward right now, don't do a separate call. Just know that you're saving 15 minutes on your last session for celebrations and for like her, you know, taking what, you know, getting kind of like some clarity on what she's taking forward with her.
Okay, so I don't necessarily, like, I don't need to tell her I normally do this.
You just let her know as part of our last call. So it can either be like the regular amount of time of the last call, or you can, if you choose to decide to extend it by 15 minutes, either way, let her know beforehand. You know, if you want it to be longer, say, do you have an extra 15 minutes? You know, we'll use that time for whatever. Or you can say like, we'll spend the first, you know, 15 minutes of our call looking at celebrations, looking at all that's been accomplished, really doing some deeper integration about the work. And then, you know, I want to make sure that by the time we complete the call, you know, you feel set on your next steps and where you're taking this work next.
Okay. And then with another client where, yeah, I don't know, like, I feel like she may need a break. I think maybe I just, yeah, I'll do the celebration call with her anyway, just because we've done them in the past. Even though I don't know if she'll need a break or need like some kind of touch base once a month, because I think she's kind of okay, but maybe looking for like a new job or in the future.
Yeah, so you can either just go ahead and do the call, or you can just say to her, like, you know, we usually do these calls. Is that something that you would like to do?
Yeah. And if she says no, then...
If she says no, then... Oh, go ahead.
Well, then there's like no choice in like continuing or talking about doing like a maintenance program.
So if she says no, you can still either in your last session or even just responding back to her, like let her, you know, ask her about a maintenance program. And, you know, you can just go ahead and do the call without asking. Sometimes if I feel like someone is most likely not going to want to, there's something empowering for them and for me in just giving the choice about the call. And like honoring of like knowing that, you know, what the energy, where the energy is at. I don't know, it kind of can sometimes open things up, but you know, every situation is different. Always coach the what based on the who, but that's just something to think into, you feel into.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, you all. I'm like, so thank you. I want to thank each one of you for all that you bring to these calls and your presence and your energy. They're so rich. Like I always just feel like we have something. Sometimes it's easy to forget when you have something special, but we have something just so special here that we're able to go so deep in these ways. So thank you. I'm thinking about all of you. If you need anything before next week, let me know. I know I'll see some of you on Friday. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.